Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Lynette is here, and Dr. Jerry Mixon is here. Dr. Umat has the week off. She will be back with us next week or the week after.
We're
talking
next week, I hope.
Next week. Yes. Now, we're talking about longevity and the reason, Dr. Mixon, that you decided, I'm done with all of this.
Done with
I've
normal.
Gained weight, and I'm done with normal. I want to live optimally, which is why you birthed longevity.
Yes, it is. You know, this is radio, so you can't see the pictures.
I have not this week.
That's right. Yeah, 12th of next month.
That's right.
I'm supposed to put the equipment in, and hopefully by early August, this will be a video show.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to see us. When I was in my early 50s, I was really fat. And I've got pictures of me that we label them Fat Jerry. I was round. I was a normal 50-year-old sedentary physician who was working 70-plus hours a week and stress eating. And I had lots of stress in my life, and so I ate and ate and ate, and I got rounder and rounder. I could not have run around the block if my life depended on it, okay? Now I'm 76 and turning 77 here in a month or so, and I can run for miles. My belly is lean and hard and flat. I have, big, strong muscles and little, tiny waist. But I've done that by moving all of my hormones back to the level of a 25-year-old, because that then gave my body the tools that it needed to do the things I wanted to do. And then I changed my diet. I changed my lifestyle. I went on a series of supplements that have science behind them instead of wishful thinking.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And things changed.
Uh-huh.
We do not accept normal for your age. Okay, normal for your age, if you're over 40 or 50, normal stinks. That's just all there is to it.
There's
no good way to say it. If you are normal, you are in real trouble.
Mm.
What we really want is far better than normal. We want optimal.
Optimal.
We want the best it's possible for your body to function. And that's far better than how they normally function at any given age. So that's the role of Longevity Medical Clinic, is to take people that are normal and hate it and make them abnormal, abnormally lean, abnormally strong, abnormally fast, abnormally smart, abnormally sexy, and outrageously happy.
Happy.
That's the goal. Okay. Because fatigue, depression, ennui, discouragement are normal parts of aging. They're also unnecessary and miserable to put up with. So if you don't have to, why would you?
Why would you? Yes. Come to Longevity Medical Clinics. We want to help you. We want to get you to your optimal self. We have three clinics, Kirkland, Tacoma, and in Linwood. And our schedule is wide open for you. You can pick the day and the time that works best for you to come on in and take advantage of that free health analysis appointment. We'll get you started, see what life has done to you so far, and find out if you're at risk for things that normal people our age deal with. Diabetes, heart disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, cancers, and so much more. We want you to come in. Let's have you talk to a doctor and see how we can get you started on the road to optimal. Is that right, Dr. Mixon?
You got it.
Absolutely. Here is that number to make that phone call. I know a lot of folks have said, you know, I'm going to do this. I want to do this someday. Someday is here. It is here. Here is the number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, find out all about us, read about what we do. You'll even see Dr. Mixon there. With some videos, and we actually have a whole list of our radio programs that we have saved in our radio section there. We call them podcasts, so you can refer back if you were on the show and you're like, okay, I wasn't quite sure what he said, or you can give them.
Download them and rehear them.
Download them, rehear them, and send them to your friends as well. LMClinic.com is our website. That's LM for Longevity Medical, LMClinic.com. And that phone number again is 866-86-YOUNG. We want to see you here living optimally the rest of your life. Okay, Dr. Mixon, you ready for a call?
Let's do it,
All right, we are headed to Seattle. We have Philip on the line. Good morning, Philip. What a gorgeous day.
Good morning, Philip. How can we help?
Good morning, you guys. Thank you for taking my call. My wife has had hemorrhoids now going on a little over a month. And I was wondering, aside from the obvious, going to a proctologist, is there anything that you would suggest that she do to ease that situation?
Well, part of it is the question is internal versus external hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are basically varicose internal?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, internal in many ways are less problematic. Hemorrhoids are basically varicose veins of the rectum. And, the problem with varicose veins is that there are valves in our veins every few centimeters, and gravity is trying to pull our blood to our feet. And as our heart is pumping new arterial blood out, it returns towards our heart through the low pressure veins. But the muscles have to contract, and they almost act like a pump to push the blood up. But it only goes up a little ways, and then it tries to fall back down. So there are valves in the veins to keep that column of blood from dropping all the way down to the bottom. And as we age, those valves go bad. And the valves in the veins around the rectum, when you're straining at stool, because most Americans have poop that is far too hard. It should be almost a semi-solid paste that comes out very easily. So when you've got to push and strain to have a bowel movement, you're putting a lot of extra pressure on those valves. And as the valves get worn out and break down, now the veins stretch and dilate and become really big because they're thin-walled, supposed to be low-pressure system. And when you tighten those stomach muscles trying to push down, to push out the stool, you're basically destroying those veins. And so now we've got a bunch of big varicosities. The internal ones actually protrude through the rectum and come out where you can see and feel them. When they're out like that and the rectum, the muscles around your anus are tightening down around it, it kind of acts like a tourniquet. Now the blood can't flow and it gets stagnant and it clots quite frequently. And now you've got blood clots in the veins around your anus, and boy, that can hurt. Okay. At best, it itches.
Wow.
And at worst, it really hurts. Mm. If you've got clots in those veins, you can either wait several weeks for them to liquefy and go out on their own, or you can go in and have a procedure done to remove those clotted areas of the veins. Internal veins are relatively simple. There's a simple device where you actually put a very tiny, tight, thick rubber band around the base of the distended vein and strangulate it, and it dies and falls off.
Wow. Okay.
Fast, easy office procedure. And for the internal veins, that works pretty darn well. And so many internists or urologists or proctologists can do that for you quickly and easily in the office. External veins are a bigger problem. They don't protrude and make little bubbles for us like the internal veins do. So if those need surgical intervention, it's a much bigger, painful whoop-de-doo to do that surgery. First thing, if they're not firm, if they're not clotted at the moment and very painful, if they're just protruding and getting in the way, you can actually lubricate your finger with a little bit of mineral oil or something and physically push the vein back inside and just push it back up inside where it belongs so it's not getting strangulated by that, by the anus muscles. And that will frequently just relieve your symptoms in a matter of a minute or two. So if, you know, if you don't have clot, if you just got protrusion, a little bit of lubrication and pushing it back up in there will give them significant relief.
Doctor, is there anything over the counter that would help her, or is she at the point where she needs to go
well,
in?
Again, I have not examined her, so it's hard for me to tell at what point, but,
it's been going on a month, so.
Yeah. There are things. There are things such as Preparation H and so on. And these are basically combinations of anti-itch. They kind of semi-numb things. They also lubricate a bit, and they decrease the inflammation.
And so, it's great for under-eye puffiness.
Yes, it does, because it
Miss America uses that.
It constricts blood vessels. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Preparation H constricts the blood. And she's absolutely right.
Yeah.
If you take a little bit of it and rub it in those eye bags under your eyes, they shrink right down because it tightens up those veins. Those dark circles under your eyes are dilated blood vessels, just like the varicose veins in your legs and the hemorrhoids at your rear end. It's just the skin under your eye is very thin, so you see the dark blood that's pooling in those veins under your eye. And you can shrink them down at least temporarily, mm-hmm. you know, with a little bit of hemorrhoid medicine rubbed on your
lower lip. Eye,
just under your eyes.
Yeah.
Don't put it in your eye, though. Just under the eye. Anyway,
she should probably get into a proctologist.
She's got to get into a doctor, let him take a look. And like I said, most family docs, most internists, almost every surgeon I know can evaluate these very quickly and easily and intervene if it's something that can be easily intervened with.
Is it something they can do in an office visit or most likely they schedule?
No, you don't. If it's internal hemorrhoids, 90% of them are handled in the office.
Okay. That's good news for her.
Wow. Yeah. That's very informative, doctor. Thank you so much. She is a member of your group there.
Well, good.
Longevity.
Wonderful.
And anyway, I certainly appreciate the information. And again, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
That.
Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Philip.
You do the same.
Thank you. Enjoy that sunshine. And we just lost Kay. Kay, if you want to give us a call back, we will have you be the next phone caller.
Hey, blow your whistle, shout for help. We'll find you. We're looking for you.
Yes, call us right back. Here is that number to call to get into our call queue. It is 1-800-465-8770. That is 1-800-465-8770 for Leading Edge Medicine. We are live in the studio with Dr. Jerry Mixon. I'm Lynette, and we'll be back to take more of your questions and talk about your health as we are aging, because we want you to be stronger,
faster, leaner, smarter. Smarter is really important.
Sexier,
and of course,
happier. Absolutely. Call in on the show today, 1-800-465-8770. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. And we are back. It's always fun to hear the music you picked out, Dr. Mixon. Yes. I like that one. One more last chance.
One more last chance. Yeah, well, you know, that's one of those basic differences in men and women. Okay. When a woman is through with a relationship, she's through.
Yeah, when she says done.
Done.
I'm done.
Yeah. Women will put up with a lot.
Yes, we will.
And they can be very nurturing, you know, forgiving creatures. But when they are done, they are done. Or they walk away, you don't want them back because they'll come back with so many conditions. It'll make your life miserable anyway.
Don't even,
Guys, when a relationship breaks up, suddenly realize the virtues of the woman they lost. Men will want to make up and get together again. And most of the time when the woman does take him back, it's because he's been begging and pleading and never do it again. And please give me another chance sort of stuff. And then he needs one more last chance because
that's right.
He does it again because guess what? We are what we are. And if that's what he was doing before, it's what he's going to do in the future.
He's going to do it again. Yes. It took me 30 years to figure that one out. I was a late adapter.
But it's just one of those intrinsic differences in
male and female.
You know, we get regrets and want to go back to where we were, and women will put up with it, but at some point they're just done.
Yes, done was my word. I was like, okay, And so happy now.
So the trick
and I thank my husband all the time. I'm like, thank you, sweetheart.
Well, and you know what? For the ladies out there, that is one thing that men need. You know, men and women are very different creatures. And men have a need and a desire to be appreciated and to be thanked.
Yeah.
If he's providing well for you and the family and the children, thank him for it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is his duty. It is his obligation, but
thank him.
The people benefiting from his hard work should be grateful. And if they are grateful, it makes the work a lot more pleasant for him.
Okay? Yes.
So gratitude and respect.
Yep.
Those are the two things. If a man doesn't feel respected and he doesn't feel appreciated, he's going to find someone who does appreciate and respect him.
Yes.
Okay, because that's an incredibly driving force for men. And I think in the long run, for most men, it is more important than sex.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman loses her libido, a man can accommodate to that. He may not like it, but he'll accommodate to it. But he will not accommodate to a lack
of respect
and appreciation for the efforts he makes on the behalf of his family.
Yeah. Men need respect. Women need love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Women need love. And as nurturing creatures, they have an emotional need to be nurtured in return. Women nurture their men. They mother them. But they have an emotional need to be nurtured in return. So the man needs respect and appreciation, and the woman needs love and nurturing and closeness, emotional closeness.
Okay.
So we have different needs. We have the same needs, but to different degrees.
Yes, yes. Okay.
So men are very needy for respect and appreciation. Women are very needy for love and nurturing.
There you go. I'm feeling another book coming on, Dr. Mixon, or maybe another radio show. Doctor, Leading Edge Love. You've been called the Love Doctor, so.
I have been from time to time. Yes.
There you go. Lots of wisdom there. Hey, ready for a phone call?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. We're going to take a call from Lewis in West Seattle. Good morning, Lewis.
Hello, Lewis.
It's Lois.
Oh, Lois.
Oh, hi, Lois.
Sorry, Lois. How can we help you today, young lady?
I have, I've been a diabetic for about, I don't know, 30 years, 40 years. Mm-hmm. But it's always been under control and never had a problem, so I don't take insulin anymore or anything like that. But I got sick a couple of weeks ago and had to go to the emergency room. And when they did the blood workup, they found that my blood glucose was very low. So, what do I do to get it? What do I eat or what medicine? I don't have a real doctor right now. And
oh, dear. All right. Well, and diabetes and blood sugars are not something we can normally, you know, treat on the radio very well. Mm-hmm. I can give you some general principles, obviously, though. You know, what to eat? Well, you raise your blood sugar the fastest with simple sugars, glucose. So, you know, in the hospital, they would use glucose, the simplest blood sugar, because your body can metabolize that instantly. At home, sucrose, table sugar, works very, very well. That raises blood sugar almost instantaneously. Table sugar, sucrose, is a combination of fructose and glucose.
Okay.
So your body will split that bond and free up the glucose real quick, and then the fructose will be handled later. So it doesn't take much to do that.
Oh, I hear a radio or TV. Yeah. Lois, are you able to turn that down by chance?
Oh, sure. Hold on, man.
There we go. All right. And she also, Lois, when she gets back, had a question about thyroid, too. Okay. So I want to bring that up. So, but she needs a doctor.
Yeah, she definitely
needs a doctor.
Get her into a doctor. Yes.
Okay. Are you back? Oh, we accidentally hung up on Lois. Lois.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Okay. So, Lois, please call us back.
Call back when you can.
Talking
yes.
about the importance of getting that diabetes checked.
Yes. And, you know, her sugars are very low. Mm. That's dangerous. I'd rather see them high than low, quite frankly.
Oh, okay.
High causes a lot of long-term problems, but too low can kill you today.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, if I have a choice of bads, I'd rather have something that's bad in the long run than bad right now.
Mm. Okay. And one of our other questions, too, was a medicine choice for recovery from thyroid removal. She's having some problems. Yeah. And that's one of those things. It just takes a while to get it right, right?
It does. It does. But again, this is one where she needs a physician who will follow her closely, because they'll probably start her on levothyroxine for a while, mm-hmm. and then see if she does a good job of converting the T4 to T3, and if not, they'll give her some other things to help the conversion. So it's a fairly complex process. Again, not something that we can monitor for her over the radio. She
right.
needs a doctor that she can sit down in the room with them and go over her lab tests and her medications.
Oh, good. And we have you back, Lois. Thank you for turning that off. We just didn't want to lose you.
Yeah.
It was hard to hear you.
I apologize. I didn't realize.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay. Right. So, there's the two things, that the blood sugar and the thyroid. I had my thyroid removed 2015 or 2016. I can't remember. Uh-huh. And they put me on Centroid.
Okay.
And after the COVID, I lost contact with that doctor. So I'm taking Centroid, but haven't really seen a doctor for it in several years.
Oh, dear. Okay.
After the
COVID, yeah.
Yeah,
after the pandemic.
I'm 82
sure.
years old, and my cognitive thing is...
Slowing down a bit. Yes, I understand. You're all right. Synthroid is a brand of levothyroxine. It's the T4. And as you age, that needs to be adjusted. It needs to be monitored every 6 months to a year at the very least. So, you know, if it's been several years since you've seen a doctor, you need to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so sick. And it's probably the reason for the last 2 or 3 years I've been so sick that I've been unable to go to the doctor's office. And so I have let a lot of things lapse.
Yes, I understand. You know, that's part of the problem we had with the pandemic, is that people were encouraged to not go to their doctor because they didn't want people close together. But you know
exactly.
what? The number of people who died from heart disease and cancer and diabetes it was higher than the number of people that died from COVID.
COVID, yes.
Because they people were not getting the medical care they needed. Yeah. And so actually shutting us all down and sequestering us in our homes killed a lot of people.
That's true.
You need to see your physician.
I've been having a lot of problems, but I'm more concerned about my low sugar. I never experienced that, and I've been passing out. So I was wondering, is that because of the low sugar?
Well, it could be.
Low glucose.
Yes, it certainly could be. Here's what you need to monitor that, really, is a continuous glucose monitor. And Medicare will pay for it for you if your doctor writes a prescription for it, but you got to go to see the doctor. And it's just a little patch that you'll put on your arm, some of them only like once a week, and you wear it all week long, and it'll send a signal to your cell phone that will actually let you see what your sugar is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to prick your finger and just check it now and again. You got a continuous reading of what your sugars are. So when you eat, you can watch your sugars go up. If you're not eating, you can watch your sugars go down. If your sugars are getting too low, you can set the alarm to notify you before you have symptoms. These are not terribly expensive. And like I said, Medicare will pay for it if your doctor writes the prescription. So that's one of those innovations that if you have not been to a physician for the last 7 or 8 or 9 years, this technology has come along in that interim. And every diabetic should have a continuous glucose monitor so they can always see what their sugar is doing. We have a record.
Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Glucose.
Continuous glucose monitors. There's probably 10 different brands of them out there. So lots of companies make them these days. They have cheap ones. They have expensive ones. They have fancy ones. They have simple ones. You know, it's a free market, and lots of people are making them with all kinds of different bells and whistles. So, you know, if you have limited finances, Medicare will cover the basic ones for you at virtually no out-of-pocket cost. And you
I'm on Medicaid.
You really ought to get one. But that means you got to go see your doctor first, right? So.
Yeah.
Okay. That might get you feeling better, too. So,
get on the phone and start calling doctors and see who can get you in fairly soon. And then you tell them about your problems. Tell them that you have this unstable blood sugars, you're diabetic, that sometimes your sugars get so low that you find yourself passing out, and you need to get it under control. And mention a continuous glucose monitor, and he'll jump right on it. Okay?
Okay. And, all right, that's primarily, I kind of figured everything out, but I just wanted to get your advice, especially about the glucose, the sugar,
Ma'am,
I can do today.
That's the one that can cripple and kill you. So you get that under control as quickly as possible.
So just taking, a spoonful of table salt?
No, not salt. Not salt, sugar. Sugar.
I misspoke.
Yeah, or a little bit of orange juice or grape juice or apple juice. Any of the sweet fruit juices will get your sugar up almost instantaneously. Okay.
What about honey? Sometimes I have toast.
Honey will do it too. No, a little bit of honey.
Peanut butter.
Yeah. Well, peanut butter is more fat. But as far as the honey itself, that'll get your sugar up in a big way too. But again, you don't want to overshoot. You're not trying to drive your sugar up to 200 and 300. You just want to get it up over, you know, in the range of 90 to 150 is kind of the target range for someone in your situation. Okay.
90 to 150. Okay.
Yeah. If you're in that range, you're going to stay conscious and alert and know what's going on.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Nixon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, dear.
Okay.
I'm happy to help. Bye-bye. Thank you for trusting us and calling.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the call, and thank you for calling back, Lois. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. We have room for you in the call queue, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770.
don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. And I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my
And we're still standing here, Leading Edge Medicine. Glad to be in your radio and on your app today. Of course, you can always listen wherever you are. I'm surprised we haven't gotten any phone calls from Florida or Arizona. Yeah,
from time to time.
Yes, it's kind of fun.
And, of course, as we go to live streaming instead of just broadcast radio, and we're going to keep the broadcast going too, but we're going to simulcast on live stream on the internet. And people will be able to actually see us because we are having the studio is being built up. There will be 8 cameras.
Wow.
So we have lots of different views, you know, for if we have just 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 people in the studio. And, yeah, you'll be able to see us and then call up the show anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you can watch an hour of it here and an hour of it there and so on, which will make it, you know, more convenient. And because it'll be on the internet, it's actually available internationally.
That's right. Anytime, anywhere.
So people can watch our show from Texas and Florida and Pennsylvania and wherever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, I think it's going to be a big change. Start sometime, I hope, in the early part of August. You know, we'll get the equipment is scheduled to all be installed mid-July.
Okay.
We need a few weeks to practice with all the fancy, you know, because you're going to be running a very, mm-hmm. very fancy board instead of just this little set you've got
know,
now.
I know, I'm excited.
And you'll have buttons to go from.
And cameras to change.
And each button does a different camera, so you'll be able to do different combinations and stuff. It should be fun, but it's going to take a little learning.
Yeah, a little training. So, yeah. Up for it. I'm so excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then when Samara dances and shakes her bangles, you'll
That's
all be able
right.
to see her.
That's right.
So we'll have a little Bollywood since we've got our own little, you know, Hindi doctor here.
And all the little signs we give each other is, you know, we're going to take a break. Here's a phone call. Oh, that's so good. Well, let's take a phone call. We're going to head to Redmond. We have Eli on the line. Good morning, Eli.
Hello, Eli.
Good morning. I'd just like to start off by saying I've been a patient at the clinic since the mid to late 90s.
Wonderful.
Well, good for you, sir. Well, thank you very much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet. I'm a year younger than you, Dr. Mixon, but I've talked to you about some issues that I've had with my prostate, and they think I mm-hmm. might have prostate cancer. So you gave me some good advice about taking the 4K test, which I took, mm-hmm. and I did take it, and my score came back as a level of 49. I'm a man of color.
All right.
So we're going to go through with the biopsy. But my question has to deal with, I've talked about a lot about different forms of prostate procedures. We talked about the Rezum and the Aquablation, et cetera. But I've never heard much about the laser ablation, you know, the photoselective vaporization, or the holmium laser ablation, which is the enucleation.
Right.
Versus the aquablation. I'm wondering if those laser procedures might be a better fit than the others, you know, the TURP and the Rezum and all of those.
If there's a cancer there, it's far better. You know, the Rezum is quasi-blind. You're just killing little pieces of prostate right around the urethra with the steam trying to shrink the prostate to take the pressure off the urethra so you pee better. But that doesn't really cure prostate cancer. And the same thing, the aquablation. You're cleaning out, you're giving more room for the urine, but the cancer may not be right in that edge right around the urethra. It may be further out in the prostate. So you're right. A procedure that actually removes more of the prostate and removes those areas of the prostate that look like they may have a malignancy in them. Those are a whole different deal. Okay? Because the procedures we've talked about most are for men with benign prostatic hypertrophy. In other words, there's no cancer. The prostate's just big and impinging on the urethra. If you've got a malignancy, we need to go find and kill that cancer. And that's, you know, that usually takes a different procedure. And for that, If we can localize the tumor, if we know just where it is, especially if it's low in the prostate, because that area is more easily accessible with a laser procedure, then they can actually go in and just kill that portion of the prostate that has the lesion in it. And so a laser vaporization procedure for those is quite nice. Now, okay, if you've got a larger tumor, or you've got a tumor that is near the edge of the prostate capsule, because that the prostate, the gland is encapsulated. There's a fibrous band that holds it together. And if the tumor is out near the edge of the prostate, near that margin, now you've got more worry that it may have spread through the margin, or it may be in danger of that. So then you've got a different procedure. Now you're usually wanting to go in and remove the entire prostate. We call that a radical prostatectomy. And that can now be done as a minimally invasive robotic procedure, where they only, instead of making a big abdominal incision and going in and stripping the whole thing out, they can now just do small punctures. They've got robotic arms that are going in, and they actually dissect out the tissue very carefully, looking at a screen to see what they're doing, and very low complication rate, very nice results. So if you've got a tumor near the margins, I'd say you probably want to make sure you get the entire prostate. If you've got a smaller localized tumor somewhere, then you can go in and do a vaporization just of that small area. And then once more, let me complicate this just a little bit more. If you've got a high-grade malignancy, if the biopsy, because once they find it, they're going to want to put a needle in, take a piece of the tumor, and evaluate its genome, and look at its genetics. Some tumors don't grow very fast. Those tumors might go 20 years and never bother you. So if it's a low-grade tumor, we're less aggressive. If it's a high-grade tumor, then we may be also adding some radiation therapy to make sure that we get it all. So, all right?
Okay, what is the procedure, the removal? If it has to be removed, what procedure would be the best for that?
Well, again, it depends on where the tumor is and how big the tumor is. A large tumor or a tumor close to the margins, you probably would opt for something like a total prostatectomy, where they would go in and take the entire prostate out. If it's a small localized tumor, just in a small area, especially if it's down low in the prostate, that can often just be done with a laser vaporization procedure. The downside of the vaporization procedures is you vaporize it, you destroy it, and you don't have a sample to send to the pathologist to examine.
I gotcha.
Okay. And so those, you have to know exactly where the tumor is, and you have to follow along, and they'll actually do the procedure while imaging you. So they actually know they've gotten the tumor. They can see it.
Okay.
Go. Right?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, because I had never heard about those procedures before, if it's kind of a situation where here locally in Washington State, finding someone who has some experience with those laser procedures is that a difficult thing?
No, not anymore.
Really available?
10 or 15 years ago, it was more iffy. But there's a lot of good people now with a lot of experience in our local area. Sure, not as big a problem. Every major institution, so if you're at the UW or, you know, Providence or any of the major hospitals, they're going to have guys that have a lot of experience in this. You're right, I would not want some kid fresh out of residency that's only done, you know, 5 or 6 under supervision. I want the guy who's done 150 or 200 of them.
Yeah,
he's already, he's way up on his learning curve. But then I'm picky about who chops on my body. So
me too.
Right.
Okay. Well, just want to give a shout out to Christine. She does a great job, and I really like her. And I wanted you to know that about that. Yeah. Christine does a great job.
Dr. Brazel.
Dr. Brazel.
Christine Brazel is a very smart and a very caring physician. Yes. She really was going to help take care of you. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, Eli. Just a few minutes left of our show today, but still time for at least a couple more calls. If you call now during our break, you can get in on the show, talk with Dr. Mixon. Here's that number. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Breast cancer is amazing. And we're back. Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Mixon here. Dr. Umat has the week off. I'm Lynette. Hi there. We're taking your calls this morning at 1-800-465-8770. For another Seattle call today, we have Ann on the line.
But before we get to Ann.
Oh, yes.
Remember, Eli made a comment. He said, I am a man of color. And I always chuckle a little bit about that. You know, there are people in our society that want to divide us based on skin color. Mm. You know, what color am I? Well, I'm kind of pinkish. You know? And so some of us are pink, some are brown, some have a yellowish cast, a little more, others reddish.
Broccoli,
you know? You're speckled, you know, blonde speckled. And my wife, who is Han Chinese, is purportedly a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
I am supposedly, with my primarily Viking ancestors, a white man, but my skin tone is darker than my wife, who is the woman of color.
Oh.
So if you actually look at us, the white guy is darker than the woman of color.
It's like, and, wait a minute.
And somewhere in my ancestry, according to my genetics people, they tell me that 0.3% of me is from sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow.
Okay, so I am more black than Elizabeth Warren is Native American.
Well, there you go.
That's just one of my Viking ancestors had an assignation at some point with somebody rather further south than most of our Viking kin.
There you go.
And I just noticed yesterday, I had not realized this, Tim Scott.
Yes.
Who is one of the men that I really hope that Trump picks as his vice president. Mm. You know, Tim Scott, he was the first black Republican senator. He worked to actually develop the economic zones in the inner cities with Mr. Trump. He is engaged, and I just saw a picture of his fiance yesterday, and she is a blue-eyed blonde. you know, with Tim, who is much closer to black than most American black men. Because, you know, most American black men are actually a bit of a mix,
mm-hmm.
and are more some shade of warm, sweet chocolate mm-hmm. than black. But Tim is black. He's not brown black. And he's marrying a blonde lady. And from the looks of her eyes, she's a natural blonde.
Oh.
And so I will be interested to see their children. You know, my hybrid daughter, from Viking father, Han Chinese mm-hmm. mother, is a sweet and adorable person. So I am all for intermarriage of anywhere where love and your heart takes you in this world.
Absolutely.
You know? But to divide people up on their skin color just offends me.
Mm.
I firmly believe with Dr. Martin Luther King that we should all be judged on the content of our character, not the color of our skin. Mm. That's about as extraneous as the size of our feet, for damn it.
There you go.
So.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mixon. We are going to go now to Ann, who is in Seattle. Hi there, Ann. Thank you for calling up and being part of our show this morning. How can we help?
Hello, Ann.
Well, I have a question about breast cancer. So I, 9 years ago, well, yeah, almost 10 actually, had triple negative breast cancer.
Mm.
And so I am wondering if hormone replacement therapy, which, you know, for other reasons I would like to have, would actually decrease the risk of breast cancer. I mean, I can see why it might decrease the risk of the other two types, estrogen responsive and HER2, but would it decrease the recurrence possibility of the triple negative as well? Probably not, but I'm just curious.
Okay, let's talk about that just a little bit. For one thing, congratulations. If you're 10 years up the road from a triple negative breast cancer, you've done well.
Good news.
Because that is, I mean, for the ladies that don't know, triple negative cancers are generally the most aggressive ones and the hardest to treat, and they have the highest fatality rate. So, you know, kudos. 10 years up the road, you are about as close to a cure as we can call you. So, you know, I love to hear that. As far as going on hormone therapy, the hormone therapy I would put you on is primarily testosterone-based. We've got some great studies. In fact, I wish this were already a video show, because I would have Lynette put up on the screen some studies that were published by Rebecca Glazier, showing a great, big, ugly, fulminating breast cancer. I mean, it was a nasty-looking thing. And they put her on the testosterone implants. And I think it was something like 4 or 5 months later, they repeat the mammograms, and the tumor is almost gone.
Wow.
Okay, I mean, it's just shriveled right up and faded away. The incidence of breast cancer, both primary and reoccurrence, on women with testosterone therapy is very, very low. Women in America that have never had any hormone therapies, they've never been on birth control pills, they've never been on estrogens, they've never been on testosterone, their incidence of breast cancer is about 310 cancers per 100,000 woman years. Women that have been on testosterone therapy for more than a couple of 3 or 4 years, it's 50 cases per 100,000.
I was actually on the mega dose of birth control pills for many years, and I had to be put on Provera once at some point because I wasn't having periods, and I couldn't figure out why. It turned out to be ovarian cysts. And then I had estrogen-dominant menopause, and I took a progesterone, did a progesterone cream to, which pretty much obliterated the horrible symptoms.
Yeah. So, you see, the progesterone creams are real progesterone. The Provera is a synthetic progestogen that increases your risk of breast cancer by 67%.
Hmm. Yeah, I was not on it for very long, maybe 5 days.
All right. You're not at great risk for 5 days. Okay. But yes.
Yeah.
Provera is a drug I wish they'd take off the market, because I consider it dangerous. I never, ever, ever use it.
I wasn't actually wild about it, but we needed to do something. It was a crisis. We needed to do something fairly quickly.
Sure.
Because I hadn't had a period in like 3 months.
Yeah,
and I was having horrible cramps.
And when you gotta, you gotta.
Yeah.
Sure. But, at any rate, you know, you do what you got to do, and if you got an immediate problem, you fix the immediate problem, even if it raises risk of problems up the road. But yes, you could easily be a candidate, but I would be selective about which hormones I gave you. But the nice thing about testosterone therapy in women, it abolishes essentially everything connected with menopausal symptoms. It makes the women stronger, self-confident. They get their drive, their ambition back. About a third of them get their sex drive back. They get better bones. Bone density increases significantly. And And the difference in testosterone and estrogen is only one hydroxyl group. And so then what happens is the women take the testosterone and they make as much estrogen as they actually need.
Now I understand that. I haven't looked at those structures in a long time, so I had forgotten that little weird fact.
But yeah, when all of the things that we have traditionally used estrogen to treat with menopausal symptoms, testosterone works even better because the women make whatever estrogen they need out of the testosterone.
And so you could get an implant to take care of the testosterone?
Yes. Now, the implants you got to replace every, you know, few months. Or you can use a cream that you just put on each morning and wash off each night. Sure.
Yeah, so
we have several ways we can handle that.
I'm working on getting in to see your clinic, so I have, like, what, 15 novels in queue, and I really don't want to die before they're finished.
No, please don't. Please don't. You know, I'm
65, and...
You're just a kid. You know. I got ties as old as you are. Come on.
Well, yeah, I am just a kid, actually.
Yes,
yeah.
Compared to me. In fact, my 12-year-old daughter tells me that I am more childish than many of her friends. So, you know.
I won't tell you what they say about me. I'm of the snarky oncology humor group. So anyway, okay, well, that's... And thanks for your encouragement. I mean, my cancer, bizarrely, was a triple negative that had grown very aggressively but hadn't spread.
So you're so lucky.
Yes.
Now, good Lord loves you, my dear. He loves you dearly.
Yes, he does. He's not done with you yet.
Only because I insisted this, and this is something I want to just shout out to my fellow white girlfriends. So triple negative breast cancer is not common in the Caucasian population.
No, it is not.
And it presents oddly. They thought I had a rapidly growing cyst. Mm-hmm. So when they diagnosed me, they said, well, you need to go see a surgeon if you're uncomfortable, but it's not urgent, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? I am not going to play around with this. So I went to see the surgeon, and they did the biopsy and the whole thing. It took them 72 hours to convince themselves that it really was triple negative. And then when they did, they got me into treatment pronto. I mean,
of
you know, at that
did.
Point. Well, yeah, which is a good thing. But my point to my white girlfriends is don't mess around with any lump on your breast, and don't take someone seriously who says, oh, it's rapidly growing. It doesn't look cancerous because, you know, usually these aren't.
Because it's cystic in nature, yeah. Mm. No, these are really nasty cancers. They are the most lethal breast cancers around. And, you know, the fact that you're still with us 10 years later, congratulations.
Yes.
You know, like I said, good Lord loves you. He's got some plans for you. And let's not interfere with his plans.
Right. He loves me. Absolutely. I am totally convinced of that.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Anne.
And yes, Anne, there's things we can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. You have
all
a
right.
day.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye bye.
All right.
I think that was supposed to be hasta la vista, baby.
Baby. Okay, we have just a couple minutes left, and we do have one more call, but it's on the same topic we might be able to discuss with Bob. Oh, Bob is gone. Okay, hopefully we'll get Bob on our next show. Okay, just 1 minute left to go on the show today. Wow, so many different topics, a lot of things that we've covered today, from thyroid to diabetes to ablation and prostate cancers and breast cancer. Yeah.
The two most common hormonally related cancers on Earth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at any rate, it's been a decent show, and I'd like to thank all of my callers.
Yes, thank you for calling back today.
Follow us on the next station for the next 2 hours if you want.
Yep.
But when we go to live stream, I want you all following me on your iPads or your Surface or your cell phone.
That's right.
Because we're going to be live and in person and video.
And waving at you. We wave at you anyway, but now you'll get to see us.
That's true.
All right. I hear the music. We will be back again next week, live in the studio. Dr. Umat, Dr. Mixon, and myself. I'm Lynette. On behalf of the doctors, thank you for tuning in to Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great rest of your weekend.